Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, we just did a video that we released in the past few hours in English and in Hebrew. You can see it on the forum, about the fact that there are Russian armed forces that are now in Syria, that the Russians are sending their army into Syria. This is a very potentially ominous development for Israel, because the next time there's an armed conflict between Israel and Syria, or between Israel and the Hezbollah terrorists who are in Syria and Lebanon, and there are, every few years, wars and conflicts between Israel and the Hezbollah terrorists. The next time there is such a conflict, you're going to have Russian soldiers and Russian troops and Russian tanks and Russian missiles and Russian personnel right next to the Hezbollah terrorists fighting with them, or potentially fighting with them. And so the possibility exists that there'll be a war between Israel and Russia. And those of you who know the Bible know that the Nevi'im, the prophets in the Bible, speak in the end of days, Be'acharit HaYamim, in the end of days, of a war between Israel and a gigantic nation in the north. So there is already prophecy about this possibility in the future. This is a new danger for Israel. And you can have Russians soon also stationed in Iran to protect Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. This is all because Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud government and Naftali Bennett and the Jewish Home Party and Shas and all the other parties on the phony right have not had the guts, have not had the backbone to do what must be done and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. The Russians have seen this weakness. They've seen this cowardice. They've seen that a nation threatened with nuclear extermination, with nuclear extinction, God forbid, is still not acting, is still allowing Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, to dictate to them what they can and cannot do, is still behaving like the Jews behaved in the Holocaust. When millions of Jews followed German orders and went to the concentration camps and didn't fight back, the same behavior is being repeated now. And while Israel is doing this, we're being told that Netanyahu is a right winger and he's a tough guy and he's a hard liner. It's unbelievable. And so there is a desperate need for a voice of sanity to say, what the hell is going on here? Don't you realize that this weakness and appeasement on the part of the Israeli government is inviting more and more problems? Now the Russians are coming in with their armed forces into the Middle East. They're going to become an occupation force in the Middle East and fight together with the Arabs, fight together with the Muslim terrorists against Israel, and possibly together with the Iranian regime. A nuclear-armed Iran, possibly even, God forbid, against Israel. If God forbid Iran acquires nuclear weapons, if we don't get a president like Ted Cruz, God willing, to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, if we don't get that, and there is a nuclear-armed Iran, and then you have the Russians also joining in to help the Iranians, Israel is in a lot of danger if that happens. A lot of danger. If Israel had done what we in JTF have been urging for 20 years now, for more than 20 years. If they had gone in with the Air Force and destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, don't you think this would have sent a signal to the Russians, to the Iranians, to the Arabs, that Israel is not to be messed with, that Israel might be a small country of 6 million Jews, but those 6 million Jews can put up one hell of a fight? Let me remind you, something, and I'm mentioning things that we didn't mention in the video, because you, of course, you can see the video that we've done on the Russian military presence in Syria is in English and in Hebrew, and I urge you to see the video. But just to give you more detail, you know, in 1970, the Russians considered intervening on behalf of their ally Egypt against Israel, because Egypt and Syria were allies of the Russians. And they considered intervening in 1970 on behalf of their allies militarily against Israel. And so they decided to experiment and see what would the results be if they send in Soviet forces against Israel. They sent up four of their most advanced MiG jet fighters, the four most advanced jet fighters that they had. They were called MiG fighters in those days. And they went up against the four top-of-the-line Israeli fighters, which were called Phantom Jets. The Israelis were purchasing jets that were called Phantom Jet fighters at that time. So it was four Russian pilots in their jets against four Israeli pilots in the Israeli jets. And the Russians did this as a test over the Suez Canal, a battle. They decided they're going to have a battle with the Israelis. They're going to test and see whether or not they can take on Israel and defeat Israel and then become the heroes of the Arab world and the Muslim world, and then become a presence where they could actually become an occupying force and come in and say, we're liberating you, and in reality come in and start imposing their will in the Middle East, which has always been the Soviet dream and now is Vladimir Putin's dream. So they decided to have this test, and they wanted to see how difficult it would be to take on little Israel. Four Russian pilots versus four Israeli pilots. You know what the result of the battle was? The Russians lost three out of four of their pilots. Three out of four Russian planes were shot down, their pilots were killed, and their planes were shot down. Only one plane was able to make it back out of the four. Only one out of four survived. All four Israeli planes came back safely. They weren't even scratched. The Russians decided at that point, we'll help you with arms for the Arabs, we'll give you arms and foreign aid and advisors, and we'll train you, but we're not going to get into a fight with Israel right now. But the situation is not like it was in 1970. The Israeli army is not the Israeli army that we had from the 1967 Six-Day War. The Israeli Jews are now acting like a defeated people. They're acting like the Jews acted before we had a state of Israel. And so, although the Russians now say they're going in to participate and fight in the Syrian civil war, and they are going to fight in the Syrian civil war, that is their first objective, nevertheless, their presence there will eventually become a problem for Israel, and eventually the possibility of them actually going to war with Israel is a real danger, a real risk. And again, all of this is brought on by Israeli weakness. Israeli weakness invites Russian aggression, Arab aggression, Muslim aggression, invites war, invites terrorism, invites bloodshed. Israeli strength deters war and deters bloodshed. This is the message that we want to bring to the people of Israel. And I think a lot of people in Israel will be open to our message. We're reaching thousands of people with our videos. We want to reach millions, of course. We're going to do everything we can to wake the people of Israel up before it's too late. I don't know how many people we'll reach or how many people will wake up, but we're not allowed to be silent. We have to do everything we can to wake them up. And certainly, it's always useful and good to at least have a certain segment of the Israeli population aware of what the truth is. Because maybe eventually that'll spread somehow and it'll become something that will catch on and people will wake up maybe in time. So what we're doing is very important. I don't know anyone else who's speaking about this the way we're speaking about this, who's making the warnings that we're issuing. I don't know anyone else who's doing this. I don't know anyone else who consistently has been right on this issue for decades now as we have. We're trying our best to wake people up, and it's so important that we reach people with this message. We also did a video in Hebrew. This was just in Hebrew, so you didn't see this. But we did a video in Hebrew about the fact that from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, that part of western Eretz Yisrael, the western part of the land of Israel, it's now 50-50. You have about half the residents in Israel are not Jewish now. Overwhelmingly Arab Muslim, of course, the ones who are not Jewish. And about half are Jewish. Only about half the residents now are Jewish in western Eretz Yisrael. Now, how long is this tiny Jewish state going to survive in this situation? They keep allowing illegal aliens to come flooding into the country. They refuse to expel them. They keep supporting and assisting the Arab Muslims to grow and grow and have more and more babies. They discourage Jewish women from having babies. I mean, the sick behavior is absolutely beyond the pale. And so we're trying to wake people up on all of these fronts, because on every front, the number one enemy of the Jews are the self-hating Jews and the Jews who have no faith and no vision and no understanding, who are running the country and who are destroying the country. That's the number one problem for Israel. So, we need your help. Now, of course, there is a possible solution to the problem that I've just described, to the danger I've just described in terms of the military danger. If Ted Cruz became president, if that happened, of course, then I do believe that he will prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. I think he will initiate a policy, God willing. I hope that he means what he says, and I think he does. That he will initiate a policy one way or another, either by arming Israel with whatever weaponry she needs to effectively bomb and destroy the program, or the United States itself will go in and do it. And he has said that he plans to do that. He has said that if Iran does not voluntarily dismantle its nuclear program, which of course they're never going to do, but he says if they do not verifiably dismantle their entire nuclear program, that he's going to go in and do it for them. So, you know, he's clearly saying that he plans to do it. In fact, he just made a speech before the Value Summit, the Value Voters Summit, which is evangelical Christians. He won, by the way, the poll of the Value Voters Summit. Thank God. He got 35% of the vote, won the poll with a big victory this weekend. And in his speech, he said that the Ayatollah Khamenei, who is the dictator of Iran, maybe we need to have him meet his 72 virgins already. So in other words, there were headlines saying, why, he's threatening to assassinate the leader of Iran. These are the type of speeches he's been making. So, you know, he is definitely saying what we want a leader to say. And he is a man of his word. He is, at least until now, he has always kept his word. He has always been an honest person who, when he made promises to the people of the state of Texas, he has done exactly what he promised them he was going to do. He's been an honest, truthful leader, until now at least. So I think he means what he says. And so that would solve the Iranian nuclear threat. And I think that having Ted Cruz in the White House would possibly be just what we need to save Israel, at least temporarily, from the madness of her own leaders. It's a disgrace. And I know you've heard me say this a million times, and I can't stop saying it. It's such a chilul Hashem, it's such a desecration of God's name, it is such a disgrace that here we are, a Kahanist Jewish organization, with, of course, we're a Jewish organization with many great non-Jewish members, many righteous Gentile members, but we're a Kahanist movement, and we're, for Israel's survival, we're relying on an American presidential election. You know, of course we rely on God, but we have to also take practical steps. We're not allowed to just pray to God and ignore everything else. You've got to have an army, you've got to fight back, you've got to do all the practical things too, and then you pray to God in addition to that. That's the Jewish way. You do everything that you practically have to do, and then you turn to God and you do the mitzvot and you do the commandments, you do what God commands you to do. It's both of those things. You got to do what God commands you to do, and you have to do the practical things. You don't depend on Nisim. You don't depend on the miracles. You have to also take practical steps, and then, God willing, God will help you. But anyway, here we are, and we have to make such a huge effort to try to get an American president who's going to do the right thing for Israel, instead of having Israel do the right thing for herself. What a disgrace this is. What a chilul Hashem. May God have mercy on us. Hashem Yerachem. Hashem Yerachem. May God have mercy on us. And may God forgive for the sake of the children in Israel, for the sake of the innocent people, for the sake of the people who unfortunately are too dumb to understand what's going on. For their sake, may God have mercy on them and enable us to save them. from this lunacy, because they don't even know what's about to come. They don't even know what's I don't even think they understand what they're facing here. Or many of them don't. In any event, we're doing what we can. We're fighting the fight, and I don't know what's gonna be in terms of the presidential election. We're gonna try our best. If Ted Cruz doesn't get the nomination, I hope that, God forbid, then I hope that the Republican who does get it will at least be good on the issue of Iran. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be. We'll see. But we're going to do everything we can to play the role that we have to play, because this is such an important election. It's a life and death election, and it's a life and death period of time for us. And while we're doing that, we're doing, you know, we have a dual strategy here. In America, we're fighting to try to influence the political process. And in Israel, we're fighting to wake people up so that we can get Israel to eventually do what has to be done by herself, so that we don't have to depend on presidential elections and other factors, that we could, you know, that even if you have a Muslim Jew hater like the animal Barack Hussein Obama in the White House, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Even when you have a beast like Obama in the White House, if you have an Israel that does the right thing, Israel can still win tremendous and miraculous victories. So we're trying on two fronts. We're trying to achieve things. We're reaching as many people as we can, both in Hebrew and in English, on both fronts, to try to make a difference. And we need your help. We need your help to do this. I think you all understand. You, the great JTFers who've been with us, you understand how important this is. You understand that we're literally fighting to prevent a Holocaust, God forbid. The Arabs and the Muslims and all the Nazi enemies of Israel they're not bluffing when they say that they want to push the Jews into the sea, that they want to incinerate Israel, that they want a Holocaust. They're not bluffing. They really mean it. They've already perpetrated Holocaust against their own people. You understand that. You understand how important it is, how urgent it is that we do everything we can. And so let's work together as a team. We need your prayers. Pray for our success. Please pray for our success. And we need you to promote our Hebrew and English videos when you see them. And we need you to be active on our English and Hebrew main pages. If you don't speak Hebrew, then at least on the English main page, be active. And we need you, of course, to help us financially. Every check, money order, cash donation sent to the post office box, it does make a difference. God bless the great JTFers who are helping us generously. God bless you. It makes a difference. And if you prefer to do it with your credit card for convenience sake, you can go to our main page, hayamin.org, and click on the donate button on top. There's a donate button in English on the Hebrew page. Everything else is in Hebrew on the page, but on top there's a donate button in English, and you can click on that, and in several minutes, very conveniently through PayPal, you can help us with your credit card. Whether you do it by credit card or whether you send a check, money order, or cash donation through the regular mail, makes no difference to us. Whatever's most convenient for you. God bless you, God bless your family, God bless your loved ones in this world and in the next for doing what's right and for standing up for what's right. Together, let's fight the good fight, and God willing, hopefully we'll be able to make a difference, and hopefully Hashem, God, will have mercy on us and will save us from the madness of the policies of our own leaders. Okay, now let's get to the questions from our great JTFers. And I hope you can hear me well while I'm doing this, because I'm moving into another spot over here in order to read the questions. I hope this isn't going to be too awkward. I hope you can hear me. Okay, the first question is from Yimach Shmore Islam, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, who is the least talented person on this list? And there are three terrible people on the list. Okay, let's start off. Let's go through all three. The first one is PewDiePie. PewDiePie is, you know, because I'm on YouTube all the time, I happen to know who he is. Otherwise, I would never know who someone like this is, but because I'm with the videos all the time on YouTube, and I'm always trying to figure out ways to spread our word, so I do know who he is, of course. He's a 25-year-old Swedish so-called comedian, although he has never, I've never seen anything that he has ever said or done that is funny. He's a vulgar, disgusting, miserable, sick person. And 25-year-old guy from Sweden, and he's promoted day and night by ZooTube. They promote him day and night. He's had 10 billion views on ZooTube. That's what they claim so far. I don't know if that's rigged. I don't know if ZooTube is rigging it. I don't know what they're doing. But they claim he's had 10 billion views, although that seems like a lot to me. Of course, when they say 10 billion views, that doesn't mean that there aren't even 10 billion people in the world. So obviously, a lot of people come back to his channel again and again, and it's possible. I mean, it is possible that you know, hundreds of millions of people, if they come back over and over again, that it could add up to 10 billion. But it shows what a sick world we live in. It shows what a sick world we live in. This is a moronic, profane piece of subhuman, immoral garbage. Every single thing he has is blood and violence and showing pictures of murdering little girls, cartoons of little girls being bloodied and murdered and creatures being bloodied and little animals and objects being bloodied and murdered every minute. A lot of it with sexual connotation about rape and murder and blood. And he has 10 billion views. Now, when we were getting a lot of views on YouTube, remember, they take our stuff down if we get a lot of views. They don't take us down now because we have thousands of accounts and we spread ourselves all over the place. But if we had one account, we would have had millions of views by now. We would have been a mass movement by now. But they won't allow us to. They'll take us down. But this piece of subhuman filth they put up. Okay, that's number one. The second one is Riff Raff. Riff Raff is a self-hating Jewish so-called rapper who imitates Schwarzes, of course. Self-hating, vulgar, foul-mouthed, evil moron whose mother was Jewish. That's why I say he's a self-hating Jew. His mother was Jewish. And, you'd never know it. He doesn't do anything Jewish. He has, he's just an evil piece of garbage, piece of filth. And he does his rapping, another piece of filth. And finally, the third person listed on the list is Justin Bieber, another moron who is getting himself into deeper and deeper trouble, with the drugs that he takes and the stuff that he's smoking and all the booze that he's drinking and the prostitutes that he goes with and just everything else that he's doing in his sick, twisted little life. Another very sick, disgusting person. Now, Yemach Shmo to Islam asked me, which of these three do I think is the least talented? Well, I'll tell you who I think is the worst. The worst is Riff Raff because he's Jewish. When a member of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people that God said are supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, nation of priests, behaves like this, it's the worst type of tragedy. Of course, if any human being does things like this, it's a terrible tragedy. But especially when someone comes from a nation like Israel, from the Jewish nation, which is supposed to be a light unto the nations, this is a terrible, just a terrible, horrible, disgusting tragedy. So I would say Riff Raff is the worst out of the three, but all three are the worst type of subhuman sewage. Thank you, Yemach Shmo to Islam. We now go to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you think that Ted Cruz even has a chance of winning the Republican nomination, unquote. Well, Joe, obviously, if I'm putting out dozens upon dozens of videos on his behalf and working constantly to try to help him, and we are working to help him, we're doing other things that are not even involved with videos. I mean, we're doing other things, in terms of speaking to people and speaking to evangelicals and speaking to people in the early states. I mean, I'm doing things behind the scenes even to try my best. I don't know if I'm having much of an effect, but I'm trying. So obviously, if I'm doing all this and we're trying so hard to help him, we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't think he had a chance of winning. So I do think he has a chance. Do I think he's the underdog? I think he's the underdog, yes. Do I read the polls? Yes, I read the polls. I know that he's the underdog. I know the odds are against him. But I do think he has a chance. If he somehow, God willing, can break through and get attention for a change in one of these debates, because he's the best debater, the best speaker, the most talented candidate, the most brilliant candidate, if he could just get attention and make a breakthrough, And if he could win the Iowa caucuses, the first state that votes is Iowa, they have caucuses. If he somehow, God willing, could win the Iowa caucuses, then he could take off and he would have a chance. He would have a real chance of winning. So we're hoping that happens. The odds are against him, that's true. But I think he has a better chance than Donald Trump, whom the polls have shown is in the lead for several months. But I think Donald Trump is not building an organization on the ground. I think Donald Trump has a chance of winning, yes. But I think the odds are against Donald Trump because he's not building an organization on the ground. He's antagonizing a lot of people. He's a terrible debater. He's a terrible candidate. He does not speak well when he makes speeches. His speeches are incoherent. And aside from his little clique of supporters that he's built like about 20-25% of the Republicans that support him. Outside of that bubble, I don't think he has that much potential for growth in terms of support. So I think both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are underdogs. The difference is Ted Cruz, if he were the Republican nominee, I think could win against Hillary Clinton in the general election. I don't think Donald Trump would win against Hillary Clinton. I think Donald Trump would lose because I think he's a terrible candidate. Also, Ted Cruz, I think, would do a good job as president. I think he would be a good president. I think Donald Trump would be a terrible president. So we support Ted Cruz. Thank you, Joe. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks. Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, is Ann Nazi Coulter going to bring much of the GOP to the Buchanan side, in your opinion, unquote. Okay, well, I think what Lewinsky Stinks is referring to is to the fact that, once again, Ann Coulter has been caught making anti-Semitic remarks. This time she said, how many effing Jews are there in the United States? She said she complained that the candidates were speaking about Israel. She said, what are you speaking about Israel for? We don't want to hear about Israel. How many effing Jews are in the United States? This is someone who calls herself, and she calls herself a Christian. She's supposed to be a religious Christian. And this is how she speaks about God's people? I mean, what type of phony is this? Anyway, and Pat Buchanan, of course, you know, is a Nazi, of course, always has been. So Lewinsky Stinks is wondering if she's going to be able to convert people and bring them over to the Buchanan side or the Buchanan side in the Republican Party. I don't know. I don't know what she's going to be able to do. I know that, I know that she does a lot of harm. Every time there's a race in the Republican nomination, she supports the worst candidates. She either supports the establishment candidate. Her hero was Chris Christie. She said her dream candidate was going to be Chris Christie. So, I mean, this is what you're dealing with. I mean, she's so pathetic, and I don't know why she is given so much airtime and so much play, and her books are promoted all over the place. It's just disgusting. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, discuss how pro-Carson evangelicals are race pandering, unquote. Well, I think that there is race pandering in the sense that, first of all, he is so in over his head. This is a guy who doesn't, do you hear him the way he speaks in the debate, the way he speaks about the issues? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not qualified to be president. This is an affirmative action candidate all the way. This is a real affirmative action candidate. And I think people are supporting him. There are people who are supporting him because he's black. Because they feel, oh, we're going to get a black, we're going to have a black guy too now. I mean, this is insane. Remember, this is a guy who supports amnesty for all the illegal aliens. This is a guy who said that his goal is the same goal as Al Sharpton's goal. I mean, complete phony, a complete disaster, and he is not in any way intelligent enough or well-informed enough to even come close to being president of the United States. He's a joke. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, what GOP candidates would have been truly competitive against Obama in 2012? Okay, well, you know, we wanted Mike Huckabee to run at that time. At that time, there was a vacuum. He could have been the evangelical Christian candidate. And I think he would have won in Iowa. I think he would have won the Iowa caucuses. And we wanted him to run against Mitt Romney. We wanted him to run. Would he have beaten Obama? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but we wanted Huckabee to run at that time. This year, by the way, he has no chance. He has no chance of winning now. Zero. The only candidate, the only evangelical pro-Israel candidate that has a chance now is Ted Cruz. And you know, we like Huckabee because he's an evangelical Christian who supports Israel. He's very pro-Israel. He believes in the Bible. His positions are not as good as Ted Cruz's positions by any means, because he raised taxes when he was governor of Arkansas, and he supported amnesty, and he's taken some stands that are pretty bad. but he doesn't have any chance of winning now. But in 2012, we were hoping he would run. Would he have won against Obama? Would he have been able to beat Obama? I don't know. But that's the candidate we would have preferred at that time. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We're going now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss one. Ted Turner." Okay. Ted Turner, let's see. He's the guy, for those of you who don't know or are too young to remember, he created CNN. You know what CNN is, the Communist News Network. And he became a billionaire. He announced he's contributing $1 billion to the Nazi United Nations, to the United Nazi Nations. He loves the UN. He's giving $1 billion to the UN. And of course, CNN is a Jew-hating, vicious network, left-wing, biased, anti-Israel, Jew-hating, anti-American network, the worst of the worst. And this is a guy, you know, who's a vicious anti-Semite. When he was in college, you know what Ted Turner used to do in college? He used to sing Nazi songs in front of Jewish fraternities. He'd go in front of a Jewish fraternity and start singing Nazi songs. That's the type of filthy Nazi scum that this is, the founder of CNN. Okay. Now, Binyamin asked me about CNN. He writes to CNN. He wants me to speak about CNN itself. Well, I think I've already commented. The worst, most vicious, biased, unprofessional vermin. Three, TBS. Binyamin writes about TBS. TBS is the Turner Broadcasting System. That's Ted Turner's main company, and the company that acquired, you know, has acquired other companies. It was also the name of a station that he had in Atlanta before he eventually went with CNN. An evil company in every way. Binyamin now writes for Atlanta Braves. The team, the Atlanta Braves, was actually Ted Turner was the owner of the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, I'm not a fan of these, you know, of these sports teams that get people, addicted to nonsense. You know, if someone hits the ball or if it's soccer and someone kicks the ball or if someone shoots a basket and people's lives revolve around grown men running after a ball. Now, I'm all in favor of sports because it's good exercise and it's healthy. Because of the health aspects of it. I'm in favor of sports, and I myself have enjoyed playing sports. I like playing sports myself, but I don't like watching other people play it on television. I mean, that is boring and unhealthy and ridiculous. I've never understood that. And certainly the immoral, evil, nasty rapists and murderers and other scum that they have, that they call athletes, on these sports teams, I don't think that they set a good example at all. I think it's one of the reasons for the downfall of America. And Ted Turner with his team, the Atlanta Braves, same story. Just part of the downfall of America. Binyamin now asks about five, City of Atlanta. Well, the City of Atlanta, of course, is an overwhelmingly black city. Very high, very high crime. Illegitimate babies. Welfare recipients, the usual, food stamps, drugs, booze, rape, murder, the usual wonderful aspects of diversity, what diversity brings to us, to urban America. It's a horrible city. Binyamin now asks about the state of Georgia, which of course Atlanta being the largest city in the state of Georgia. In the state of Georgia, most of the state of Georgia is actually a pretty nice state. It's actually physically a beautiful state, the state of Georgia. It's a beautiful state. I've traveled through the state many times. And I think it's a very nice place. And I think rural Georgia and I think the suburban communities in Georgia are very nice communities. But Atlanta, forget about it. I can't stand it. But the nice people in rural Georgia and the nice people in the suburban communities of Georgia are very nice. Actually, very friendly, very nice. At least when I was there, they were very friendly, very nice people. And physically, it's just a beautiful place. It's a beautiful state. Benjamin now finally writes, Georgian peanut farmer. Okay, that's Jimmy Carter, is a Georgian peanut farmer. That filthy, stinking Nazi piece of dirt. Baruch Hashem. It's unfortunate he lived this long. I think he's 90 years old now, and, you know, now he got cancer. He's lived 90 years too long, but don't worry. In the next world, he's going to be fully repaid for all the evil things he's done in this world. Thank you, Binyamin. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, your opinion of the Jewish National Fund, JNF, unquote. One of the most evil Jewish establishment organizations. The whole Jewish establishment is bad. Rotten from top to bottom. The whole Jewish establishment, the UJA, the AJC, the ADL, B'nai B'rith, all terrible. If it's a Jewish establishment organization, they're the worst. They did nothing while 6 million Jews were murdered in the Holocaust. They betray Israel. They promote assimilation and intermarriage. They are the worst. They're leftists. They're self-hating. The worst. Now, JNF claims they're planting trees in Israel, but it was exposed. That when you give to JNF, they don't really plant the trees in Israel. I mean, there was a big scandal. You can look it up. You can look it up. There was a, you know, now we have Google and we have an internet where you can look things up. There was a big scandal. People were giving money and they thought their trees were being planted in names, in the, you know, in memory of their loved ones and so on in Israel. And no trees were being planted. JNF was just taking the money, and I don't know what they're using it for. Maybe they were pocketing the money. I don't know what they were doing. But they were not using the money to plant trees in Israel. It was a lie. JNF is a horrific organization. You know that they have a policy of not planting any trees beyond the pre-1967 Auschwitz lines. They will not plant anything beyond the pre-1960s, Israel's pre-1967 borders. Because they say Israel has no right to be anywhere beyond the pre-1967 borders. Even in Jerusalem, even in Israel's capital. If it's not within the pre-1967 borders, JNF policy is they will not plant a tree or do anything outside the pre-1967 borders. This is the type of Judenrat sewage that you have in JNF. And, you know, another thing they do, you know, they put up signs in their forests in Hebrew and in Arabic commemorating Arab villages that they say were displaced by the terrible Jews in the 1948 war. I'm not kidding. They have signs saying this was an Arab village, or, you know, the Arabs make up stories. They claim, you know, wherever their camel moved their bowel, wherever the camel moved its bowels, they claim, this was a big city over here. We had huge civilization, Arab civilization over here, destroyed by the Zionists. You know, and the JNF, whatever the Arabs say, they put up signs all over supporting the Arab view on everything, backing the Arabs 100%, supporting the Arabs. That's the type of filth that you're dealing with. And by the way, their two biggest forests in Israel are the Martin Luther King Forest and the John F. Kennedy Forest, two anti-Semites, Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy. That's the biggest forest that they planted in Israel, the JNF. What a horrific organization. If organizations like this went out of business, the Jewish people and the world would be a much better place. They should go out of business, and all of their leaders, something should happen to all of their leaders. I'm not even going to say, because I'm so polite and so nice, I'm not even going to say, but I'll leave it to your imagination what I'd like to see happen to their leaders. Yimach shmam v'zichram, may their names and memories be obliterated. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, has your opinion of Ben Carson as a presidential candidate changed as a result of his comments about Muslims and Islam, unquote? No, absolutely not, because it's completely phony. It's completely phony. Ben Carson did very poorly in in the debate, in the debate that they recently had. He did very, very poorly in that debate. And so he was going down. He was dropping in the polls. The first poll that was taken, he dropped substantially. And he saw that his candidacy, he was going to become irrelevant because people were going to see that he doesn't know how to debate. He doesn't know how to speak. He doesn't know how to debate. He's in way over his head. And so what did he do? He decided to do something that he knew would grab support from the Republican base, and it worked. He said, I'm against having a Muslim elected president. He knew that would work. He's a real stand-up guy. He's against having a Muslim elected president. He just wants to give amnesty to all the illegal aliens. That he's in favor of. He says, let's make them guest workers. He says it's impractical to deport any of the illegal aliens. We should give them all amnesty. And he says his goal is the same as Al Sharpton's goal. And goes to Al Sharpton's headquarters and embraces Al Sharpton and supports Al Sharpton. But he said, I wouldn't want a Muslim. Then, by the way, he even backpedaled on that about the Muslim being elected president. He said, well, if the Muslim said that he accepts our Constitution and that he'll follow the Constitution, then of course a Muslim is going to say he's going to follow the Constitution. What do you think he's going to get up and admit that he supports Osama bin Laden? Of course he's going to say that. We have a Muslim in the White House right now. By the way, Ben Carson says that Barack Hussein Obama is a Christian and that he believes him. So they were talking about this as if this is something in the future that may happen, which is also a lie. I mean, Barack Hussein Obama is a Christian? All he does is bash Christianity, Judaism, the Bible. All he does is bash all of these things and praise the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran. He makes speeches. Remember the videos we did showing the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran? He keeps quoting. And he himself wrote when he was in Indonesia in school, he listed himself as a Muslim student. He could have listed himself as Christian, Catholic. There were various other choices, Buddhist. He listed himself as a Muslim in Indonesia. And it was a Catholic school. And he still made sure to list himself as a Muslim. Ben Carson says, no, he's a real Christian. What a phony. What a phony. When are people going to go for the real McCoy? Anyway, EB, thanks for the question. I'm glad you brought it up. Good question. And we move now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, please decrypt French sale of amphibious assault warships meant for Russia to Egypt, unquote. Well, the French, They decided they're going to go along with the European Union supposedly punishing Russia for invading Ukraine. So they decided they're going to cancel the sale of warships to Russia. But they already built the war. They're already building the warships. They don't want to waste the money. They still want to make the money. This was a meaningless thing because they knew that they could that the Egyptians want them. They knew they'll get the money from the Egyptians. They don't get it from the Russians. They'll get it from the Egyptians. So they decided. They'll kill two birds with one stone. The French, you know, the hypocrisy of the French is just beyond words. You know, on the one hand, they'll say, you see, we gave up a deal with Russia. And on the other hand, they're still getting all the money they were going to get anyway by selling it to Egypt. Hiram now asks about the Pee-Pee Putin meeting, unquote. Oh, I'm very glad you brought that up. Because I was in my opening, I speak about Russia having forces in Syria and the great danger that it poses. I mentioned in the video I did an English video that we released earlier that we released about 12 hours ago. I mentioned in the video, or about 10 hours ago, I mentioned in the video that Netanyahu met with Putin and legitimized. And gave an Israeli stamp of approval to the presence of Russian armed forces in Syria on Israel's northern border, which is insanity. He should never have agreed to that. He should have said absolutely not. Absolutely not. And he should have let the Russians know that that Israel understands that this is a hostile force and that, you know, the Russians are taking a chance by getting involved here. Instead, he gave a stamp of legitimacy to this and right away showed his weakness and surrendered and caved in as he always does. Hiram now writes, Pinko Pope Bergoglio Tour. Okay, and Gog is in capital, is all in caps, because Gog is the leader of Magog in the end of days, the leader who's going to lead the final war of the world against Israel, final war of all the nations of the world against Israel, and the final war that will bring final redemption. Yeah, this, I'll tell you something. Now, I don't mean any disrespect for our Catholic members. We have Catholic JTFers. Because sometimes when we criticize the Vatican or the Pope, some people misinterpret that as an attack on all Catholics. We're certainly not attacking the great JTFers who happen to be Catholic. We're not attacking them, but this Pope is a leftist. He's an anti-Semite, he's anti-American, and he's a leftist. And everything he does is left-wing and just disastrous. Just an absolute disaster. I think he's destroying the Catholic Church, and I think he's bringing the downfall of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church now is going to be like all these left-wing these Protestant mainline left-wing churches that are all dead now, that have no members, nothing now, because they all became left-wing. And the same thing is going to happen to the Catholic Church with what the Pope is doing. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, some Jewish panhandler says tzedaka as if selling mitzvah for money. Should we give them? Unquote. No, I don't think so. I think that now, if you know the person and you know that someone is in trouble or they need money, or you know the person that, and you know a person needs money, then of course, you should, if you can, you should help somebody if they need, if they're really in need, and you could be helpful and you could do a kind gesture for somebody. But if it's just someone on the street that's going around making a living, going around begging for money all the time, no, you should not help them. Because as far as you know, what are you giving for? You may be giving for them to buy drugs, you may be giving for them to buy liquor, you may be just reinforcing a bad lifestyle that they have. I see these beggars, I see Jewish beggars in the Jewish neighborhoods that I live in, a Jewish neighborhood, or a neighborhood it's not majority Jewish, but maybe one-third Jewish and two-thirds other groups. But I go to a certain area where there are a lot of Jewish stores, and I know a couple of Jewish beggars there that always are there, and it's the same people. Every day, the same people there. If they, instead of sitting there or walking around begging everybody on the street, if they would go out and get a job, they wouldn't have to beg. But this is their job. They made this their job, and I don't think it's appropriate at all, no. I think that you should only give, if you want to help people that are in need, give to charities or organizations that are reputable, that you know are reputable, and that you know are good organizations and good charities. Give to them. You don't give to just somebody on the street holding his hand out, unless you know that person personally and know that that person is an honest person and is really in need. And by the way, what I'm saying is something that rabbis, I've heard rabbis, especially in Israel, that is what most rabbis now are urging people to do. PMN now writes, why is kashrut credentials so expensive in New York City, unquote. Because it's a racket. Now, we need, unfortunately, if we're going to have restaurants that are kosher, kashrut means kosher, we need it. But the Orthodox Union, which is the worst group, they're leftists, they're scum, they supported the Oslo agreements, they're the worst traitors, the Orthodox Union. These are crooks. I mean, they are crooks. And so they blackmail restaurants and other places and get huge amounts of money in order to give the kosher certification. And if people don't have the kosher certification, people like me, I can't eat in a restaurant. I can't go to a place if it doesn't have it. So, you know, we're held hostage to all of this. But it's a racket. It's terrible. It is terrible. Thank you, PMN. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, rank in order of disastrous. And there are four candidates for president here. Rubio, Carson, Trump, Fiorina. Okay. And all four, in my view, are disastrous. I would say Fiorina's the worst. Because Fiorina, Carly Fiorina, whom we're going to do videos, I hope we'll do more videos exposing her, we're going to call her Carly Failurina. Carly Failurina, and I call her that because both companies that she worked for, HP, Hewlett-Packard, and Lucent, became disaster areas after she worked for them. She did a terrible job in both companies. And that's the basis of her candidacy. She's running as a successful businesswoman. She was a catastrophe as a businesswoman. In any event, she also, aside from being just an incompetent disaster as a CEO, she also is very pro-Muslim. She praised Islamic civilization. This is after 9/11. She was praising the Muslims and talking about how wonderful they are and how we have to support them. And she issued this statement praising the Muslims and praising Islam. In addition to that, when she was running Hewlett-Packard, they went through a European subsidiary to circumvent the sanctions against Muslim terrorist Iran. They sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of computers and printers to Muslim terrorist Iran, to help Muslim terrorist Iran. So they did business with Iran and circumvented the sanctions against Iran. That's the type of person. Now, she says, I didn't know anything about, she doesn't know anything about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of sales taking place. Please, I don't believe her. Okay, I don't believe her. First of all, if she didn't know, she's incompetent. And I believe she did know. So she, in my opinion, she is the worst of the four. The second worst, I would say, would be Ben Carson. Because he says he shares the same agenda as Al Sharpton. And I just don't trust him. I don't trust him. I think he would betray us I don't think he has any chance of getting elected, but if he did ever get elected, God forbid, he would betray us. And the third worst on the list, I would say, would be Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump, again, you can't trust what he says. He was a leftist and he changes his views all the time. He's not to be trusted. He says he won't rip up the Iranian agreement. He's going to monitor the agreement. I mean, what he's saying will lead to catastrophe. And finally, Marco Rubio. Now, I'm making him the fourth person on the list. That doesn't mean he's not bad. He's very bad. He's a liar who lied to the people of the state of Florida when he was running for the Senate in Florida, promised he'd be against amnesty, and then the minute he got into the Senate, became the biggest and most zealous fighter for amnesty for the illegal aliens. He's just a deceptive con man. And you can't trust what he says. All four of these people are liars and cannot be trusted. That's the problem with them. Dr. Dan now writes, too, Trump complains about Fox, your thoughts, unquote. Yeah, it's unbelievable. There is not one candidate that would not do anything to get the coverage that Trump gets from Fox. I mean, the wall-to-wall, non-stop coverage. Can you imagine if Ted Cruz they could condemn Ted Cruz day and night. He'd be happy to get that type of wall-to-wall coverage. They put microphones in front of his face and let him go on. They let Trump go on and speak for hours and hours and hours and give his side of the story. That's not fair. Are you kidding me? They bend over backwards for him. Now, it's true that they don't like him now. Because he gets on people's nerves. I mean, even after they give him everything, and even after they treat him better than all the other candidates and give him more coverage, coverage and publicity is the lifeblood of a candidacy. That's why he's leading in the polls. They give him more coverage than all the other candidates put together, and all he does is complain and personally attack all of the people on Fox. Now, I don't like the people on Fox. Fox is part of the Republican establishment. I don't like them. But they certainly have been very good to Donald Trump. I wish Ted Cruz would get 10%, just 10% of the coverage that Donald Trump has gotten. And they can criticize him too, as long as they give him 10% of the coverage. Dr. Dan now writes, 3, why not a Muslim president? Oops, too late, unquote. Absolutely, Dr. Dan. As usual, you have it right. And that's, you know, all this debate about can we have a Muslim president, we have a Muslim president here now for almost 7 years. So it's an absurd debate, and of course There's no question Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. Thank you, Dr. Dan. We move on now to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss your knowledge of the economics of etrogim, supply and demand issues, and if you think they are overpriced or not, and why." Etrogim is one of the four things that we have to have, one of the four items that we have to have during the holiday of Sukkot. And they can get pricey, they can get expensive. It depends how fancy you want your etrog to be, but it can get pricey. Look, if people are willing to pay, it's hard to complain. You know, if you have a product and you're not cheating people and you're not lying to people and you're being honest with people and they're willing to pay the price, what are you going to do? That's the way the market works. Do they exploit things? Do they take advantage of people like us who have to have this because we have to have this for the chag, for the holiday? Do they take advantage? Yes, they take advantage. I think it's unfortunate, and I certainly think people who can't afford it should be given a break. But I think most people can afford it. I don't think it's that outrageous that you can't afford it. Is it overpriced? Yes. Do they take advantage sometimes? Yes. But we still have to buy it. We still need it for the chag. And the only way we're going to ever change this is if consumers decide to get together and say, look, we don't like the fact that when Pesach comes, the prices are jacked up so much. Pesach meaning the Passover holiday. We don't like the fact that kosher chickens and kosher meat and kosher products are so much more expensive than non-kosher products. If consumers don't get together and do something about it, this is what we're going to be faced with. And should consumers get together and do something about it? You know, I think it would be a good idea. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And we move on now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "One, expose J. Michelson." Oh, what an animal. What an animal. J. Michelson is someone who calls himself a conservative so-called rabbi. And of course, if someone's not an Orthodox rabbi, if they don't have smicha, smicha is the rabbinic ordination, al-pi halacha, according to the Jewish law, al-pi halacha. If they're not an Orthodox rabbi with real smicha, they're not a rabbi. Okay? And this phony and the conservative and reform and reconstructionist and all these assimilated cults, that's not Judaism. They are not, what they represent is not Judaism. It's a lie. And he's not a rabbi. And he's an example of this. They call him a rabbi. They made him a so-called rabbi, the so-called conservative movement. This is a guy who is openly homosexual and promotes, all he does day and night is promote the perverted sodomite agenda. And then he calls himself a rabbi. How evil can someone be? And this abomination claims that he has sources to prove that homosexuality is a good thing and he promotes it. I mean, just what an abomination. What an abomination. This is a walking toeva. Toeva means abomination. This is a walking abomination. Yimach shmo v'zichro. And now Smash Islam writes, "2, conserved Jewish literature is filled with anti-Judaism," unquote. Absolutely, absolutely. The so-called literature of the so-called conservative movement absolutely is anti-Jewish. Anti-Judaism and anti-Jewish. Sick and disgusting in every way. That's why you gotta go with the real McCoy. You gotta go with the real deal. The real deal is Torah Judaism. Anyone else who says they can change the Torah and they don't follow the Torah, or they have these pseudo-rabbis who have conventions and vote, no, we're going to decide that this is the rule, and we know it's all right to do this and do that, even though it's against what the Torah says. You know that's fake, you know that's phony, you know that's something you should run away from. If you're going to go with Judaism, it's got to be true Torah Judaism and nothing else. Smash Islam now writes, 3, Muslims getting killed in Mecca, unquote. Well, actually, Smash Islam, I'm planning, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, I'm planning to do a video on that. I hope to do a video on that. I think about 800 of them were killed, were just trampled to death, and it shows how cruel and evil they are to each other. They trample their old people, the elderly people, children, babies, crush them and trample them to death. You know, they have these big mass meetings and then they get impatient and they just start trampling people to death. I mean, they're such a cruel, hideous people. It's beyond words. And if this is what they do to each other, imagine what they would do to us. Smash Islam writes now, 4, discuss Burlingame Faso coup. That I'm not familiar with, Smash Islam. You got me on that one. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that, Smash Islam. In any event, I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing, and I wish all of our Jewish members and our Gentile members, Chag Sameach, happy holiday, because Sukkot is a holiday for the Jews and for the Gentiles. The Gentile nations are going to be celebrating Sukkot as well. The day is going to come when they're also going to celebrate Sukkot, and we make sacrifices for the Gentile nations, for the prosperity of the righteous Gentiles, of Chassidei Umot HaOlam, of the righteous Gentiles. So this is going to be a holiday for the Jews and the Gentiles, the holiday of Sukkot, which is the Feast of the Tabernacles. I wish everybody again Chag Sameach, and I'm very happy to have done the program. As always, I love doing the program. I love speaking to our great JTFers. Until next week, Shalom.